in order to live a life full of the Holy Spirit. Titus chapter 3 verses 1-8. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. What should we do to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit? We must believe in and proclaim the amazing gospel of salvation that God has accomplished for us. Those who believe in Jesus and have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit must live a life filled with the Holy Spirit. For Christians, a life filled with the Holy Spirit is God's command. We must live according to God's command. Then how can we live a life filled with the Holy Spirit? We must listen carefully to what the Apostle Paul has said about this. What is needed to live a life full of the Holy Spirit? The Apostle Paul said in Titus chapter 3 verse 1, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work." First, he said that we must submit to and obey the good laws of this world. He also said that we must be prepared to do every good work. Paul's words mean, how can you live a spirit-filled life while breaking the written laws of the world? Of course, if the rulers or the laws of this world hinder or oppose this truth, then we cannot obey them. However, as long as the laws of the world do not conflict with our faith, we must obey and keep them well. We are people who have received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If we, who desire to serve the gospel of the Spirit, were to sell drugs forbidden by the world or break traffic laws and be pursued, how could we live a Spirit-filled life? Therefore, if we want to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit, we must also keep the proper laws of this world. A person with the indwelling of the Spirit must obey the laws of the world and follow them in peace. We must live as law-abiding people even in this world in order to follow the Lord. Suppose one of us, while driving to worship, hits a person and flees the scene. Could this person serve the Lord with a clear conscience in the future? How can you live a life following God while being pursued by the world? Isn't living a life that pleases the Spirit under the Spirit's rule a Spirit-filled life? Therefore, we must keep what should be kept so as not to violate the laws of this world, and follow the Spirit. Up to now, we have not done anything that violates the laws of the world. We do not commit murder, steal, or sell drugs. There is nothing good for us in breaking established laws. We want to do everything in peace by keeping the laws of the world well. We have tried to worship in peace and to spread the gospel in peace. In order to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit, it is proper to keep the laws of the world. Our hearts must be gentle. The Apostle Paul said, "To speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men." If we want to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit, we must not slander one another, we must not quarrel with one another, but be gentle and show perfect gentleness to everyone in all things. In the hearts of those who are born again, there is gentleness, self-control, and a spirit of forbearance. This ability is possible because the Holy Spirit who dwells within us possesses all these things. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, told us to remember these things so that we would not engage in useless quarrels or slander that do not benefit the gospel. Of course, if it is for the benefit of the gospel, we must contend. But if it does not benefit the gospel, we must live gently. So we must finish everything well. People should be able to think, that person may be fierce like a lion at times, but at the core, he is gentle like a dove. Maybe because he believes in Jesus, his discernment is clear. In fact, our fleshly desires do not have forbearance or gentleness. However, through the Lord who saved us from sin and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we can be forbearing toward others. Truly forgiving someone who has greatly wronged you from your heart is true forgiveness, and treating that person gently from your heart is true gentleness. If you hate and dislike someone so much in your heart that you want to kill them, but only pretend outwardly for the sake of appearances, that is not gentleness. Gentleness and forgiveness are principles planted in the heart. We must have a heart of forbearance when people do wrong to us. If it does not greatly hinder the gospel, we must be forbearing toward everyone. However, if it hinders the gospel, forbearance must be replaced by the light of truth. Forbearance can only exist within God's truth, so for those who oppose, slander, and curse the gospel of God, forbearance is not necessary. Those who oppose God are not shown forbearance by God either, and He will surely make them pay the price. God said to Abraham that those who bless him will be blessed, and those who curse him will be cursed. Those who oppose the true gospel of truth have no way of being saved. If they turn their hearts to God, they can avoid disaster, but if not, not only they themselves but even their descendants to the third generation will perish. It is not that we do not forbear, but God does so. Why must we be forbearing and gentle? As it is said in verse 3, we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Because we, too, were such people before being born again, we must be forbearing and forgiving toward such people as much as possible. Our flesh is just like theirs. From verses 4 to 8, the Word tells us how we have been saved, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. According to the Word, when our Lord saved us from sin, He did not save us by looking at our righteous deeds. God saved us and gave us the blessing of being born again because He loved us and had compassion on us. That is, our sins were all transferred when Jesus Christ came to this earth, received baptism from John the Baptist, and took on the sins of the world, and after bearing the sins of the world, He died on the cross and rose again, washing away all our sins. And now He is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. When He comes again, all the imperfect things of this world will be made perfect. God has given us this Holy Spirit, saying that He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was baptized by John and died on the cross to bear all our sins, and by doing so, He completely and sufficiently removed all our sins. By believing in this gospel, we have been fully saved and have become righteous. He said, that having been justified by His grace we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. As heirs of God, as children of God, we have become those who receive and enjoy all the glory and riches that God has. In order for us to live such a blessed life, we must live a life filled with the Holy Spirit. You, too, must live such a life, and if you want to live this life, you must first believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, be fully cleansed of sin, firmly keep this, and also preach this gospel to others. Therefore, we who have received the cleansing of sin must live a life that strives for good works. To do these good works, we must keep the laws of the world, and even if there are people who have no interest in or do not seek God, we should at least preach the beautiful gospel to those who seek and show interest in God. Also, we must forgive in our hearts those who have wronged us, and deal with them with clear goodness and gentleness so that they cannot slander the beautiful gospel. These things are good and profitable to men. If you and I want to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit, we must keep what the Apostle Paul is telling us now. These words may seem ordinary, but they are truly necessary for us. Because our flesh lives a life in contact with this world, if we live a life pursued by the world, there is no such thing as a spirit-filled life. So we must keep the laws of the world that do not hinder the work of God. You must keep the laws of this world. Keeping the laws of this world is surely beneficial to the gospel. It is more beneficial for living a spirit-filled life to keep them than to neglect them, even if you have faith. In order to do good works well and to devote ourselves to good works, we must keep the laws of the world and live harmoniously with our neighbors. Do you want to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit? Ephesians chapter 5 verses 8 to 11 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. This means to act as children of light and bear the fruit of truth. In Ephesians chapter 5 verses 12 to 13, it says, "For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light." Here, the Apostle Paul says that all things that are exposed by reproof are revealed by the light. That's right. If the righteous do not live properly, God will rebuke them, or they will rebuke themselves, and they will be reproved. What happens when a person's darkness is reproved? It becomes bright. When one acknowledges their fault, their heart becomes bright again before God. All things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. When you have done wrong, it is good to be reproved. Then, by admitting your fault and believing in the Lord, you can stand again. If we want to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit, we must live with a good heart. It does not mean that, just because people have no sin, they do not need to be good. You must truly have a good heart and live kindly. You must wisely share the beautiful gospel so that those who do not know the gospel of the water and the Spirit can receive the washing away of sins, and you must pray for such people. Also, do not harm others. Diligently earn your own living so that you can eat, serve the gospel, and live a life that also helps others. Also, if you want to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit, you must serve the beautiful gospel by making the most of your time and days as a wise person. If you look at this world, you will fall into the temptations of darkness and end up putting God's work aside. Therefore, we must look to God and do what pleases Him. By believing in the salvation the Lord has given us, we must always be awake as wise people before God. It is the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to live with the heart that we must preach the beautiful gospel to the whole world before this world becomes even darker. Understand what the Lord's will is. We must strive to know what pleases God. Through God's Word and God's Church, we must think about what God wants from us and what work we should do. Those of us who have received the removal of sin and the Holy Spirit must understand and do what kind of life we should live to do the good works that please the Lord, and what the Lord's will for us is. Those who have received the removal of sin are those who are born again, and those who are born again are those who have the Holy Spirit. Those who have the Holy Spirit are God's people, holy people, and children of God. Such people must surely live a life filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the duty of the saints. After receiving the removal of sin, we must not waste time and squander our abilities and strength only for ourselves, without any interest in good works. Also, we must not let ourselves drift along with the world and end up living a life that actually hinders God's work. If we have received the washing of regeneration and holiness through the merciful love given by Jesus Christ, then we must become good people. Here, regeneration means a person who is born again, and washing means that our sins have been removed by the gospel of the water and the blood given by Jesus Christ. In this way, if we have received love before God and become children of God, it is only right that we become good people. Those who have become children of God, though lacking, desire to live a life that pleases God, set their hearts on God's work, and do good. But even a person who is born again, if he wants to live only for himself, becomes someone who does evil to others. The command not to get drunk but to be filled with the Holy Spirit means not to be intoxicated by the desires of the flesh, but to do good works. Regarding being filled with the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 verses 19 to 21, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." If we want to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit, we must believe in and proclaim the amazing gospel of salvation that God has accomplished for us. The Lord hears our prayers and gives us blessings, and He has allowed us to record all these things in psalms and writings so that we may praise together with one voice. We must praise God, give thanks to God, and sing to Him. Also, gathering together to pray for one another and for those who have not yet been saved is part of a Spirit-filled life. Believing in God with our hearts, giving thanks, and respecting and loving Jesus Christ, who saved us, we must also know how to fear Him. With such a reverent heart, we must acknowledge our faults before God, return to faith, confess with gratitude that the Lord has taken away all our sins, and submit to God. These are the things that make up a Spirit-filled life. We must live a life that serves the beautiful gospel. For the beautiful gospel, we must prepare for good works and continue to pursue them. We should unite with the Church of God, work together to save the souls of all people, pray together, and praise the Lord. In this world, there are many people who, even if they seek God, have not yet been born again because they do not know the beautiful gospel. For these people, we must pray before God, saying, "God, please save them as well." Also, we should not pursue a life only for ourselves, but rather offer our material possessions to serve the gospel, living as a support for it. Living for the souls of others and for the expansion of God's kingdom are good works. Living in this way is the life filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not about receiving certain gifts, speaking in tongues, or performing miracles, but rather about faithfully serving in the good works that please God. Also, believing in our hearts the salvation from sin that God has given us, praising God with our mouths, and giving glory to God with psalms and hymns, this is the life filled with the Holy Spirit. Being thankful in our hearts, believing in our hearts and confessing with our mouths, and serving the Lord with our bodies to glorify God, this is God's command, and living according to this command is the life filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, to live this Spirit-filled life, we must submit to one another. If someone gives us a proper admonition, we should submit and follow that will, and if we admonish others, they too should submit if our admonition aligns with the Bible and is spoken according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, even if it does not match their own will. In this way, we must live a Spirit-filled life, submitting to one another for the sake of God's good works. A life filled with the Holy Spirit is a life lived with the purpose of glorifying Jesus Christ. The life of a believer filled with the Holy Spirit is a life that obeys the commands given by Jesus Christ. This kind of life is the life of being filled with the Holy Spirit, and let us learn through the Word what kind of life this is, starting from Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 to 13. What kind of life is the life filled with the Holy Spirit? A life filled with the Holy Spirit is a life lived strongly through the power that the Lord has given in the Lord. It is not living by trusting only in my own strength, but living by taking hold of the power and strength of the Holy Spirit who is in me, through faith. Also, it means hearing and believing the word within the church that God has allowed us, and living by the power of that word. And it is a life of prayer. As we pray, we are clothed with God's power and receive blessings, and live a strong life both spiritually and physically. This kind of life is the life of putting on the full armor of God, and God has commanded us to put on such a life. We humans are weak, so even when we try to follow, serve, and obey the Lord with all our strength, we go astray. If we do not hold on to the Word, it is impossible to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit. Faith that holds on daily to the Word of God that is absolutely necessary for oneself clothes us with spiritual power. Even if we do not have great faith and only have faith the size of a mustard seed, the faith that says, "Since it is written like this in the Word of God, I believe it will be so," is the faith that puts on the full armor. This is the faith that leads us to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit. Are there any of you who are struggling in your life of faith? If so, you must remember the word in which God commands us to put on the full armor of God. God has told people to put on the full armor. You must take this word to heart and understand what it means to have faith that puts on the full armor, and hold on to it in your heart. No matter your circumstances or what those around you may say, if God has spoken and recorded it in His word, you must hold on to that word in your heart. By doing so, you become a person who is led by the Holy Spirit and lives a Spirit-filled life. Then where can you obtain this faith? God recorded in Revelation, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This means that you must listen to the words the Holy Spirit speaks through the church. In other words, without going through God's church and His servants, you cannot hear God's word, nor can you live a Spirit-filled life. Through whom does the Holy Spirit speak? God speaks to all believers and all people in the world through the servants who preach the word within His church. That is, if you listen to the word preached in the church as the word spoken by God, there is no mistake. Therefore, you must come to church with this faith and listen to the word. Because the Holy Spirit is in the heart of the preacher, it is impossible for the preacher to speak according to his own will. A preacher who has the Holy Spirit preaches the word with the help of the Spirit, in the faith that believes in God's word. If he tries to preach carelessly, the Holy Spirit will stop him and prevent him from preaching. This is because the Holy Spirit is in the heart of the preacher. The Holy Spirit is God. The authority of a servant who has God indwelling in him is tremendous. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ said to Peter, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." These keys to the kingdom are the gospel that saves us through water and the Spirit. In other words, the gospel word given by Jesus Christ is the key that allows us to enter the kingdom of heaven. Also, he gave the authority to preach God's word, not only to Peter, but to all God's servants and all his people in this era who have been born again and have the Holy Spirit in their hearts. To live a life filled with the Holy Spirit, you must put on the full armor of God by holding firmly to his word. If you lack such faith, you should trust in the authority of God's church and his servants, and hold on in faith even to the word you heard today. Even if today's message seems to have no relevance or necessity in your life, you must listen with your ears and accept it in your heart. Also, seek out the words you need for your life by reading the Bible, and hold on to them in faith. By doing so, you become a person of faith. In this way, you can live a Spirit-filled life and, following God's will, be able to fight and overcome the evil spirits in this world. Some may think it is confusing that earlier you were told to submit to the rulers of this world, but now you are told to do this in order to fight against the evil spirits who rule the world. In the Roman era, the Roman emperor made himself out to be a god and the law, forcing everyone to submit from the position of a god. However, this was an act of opposing God, so it was something that could not and should not be obeyed. Those who called themselves gods, made people bow down, and created idols were the devil, Satan, who opposes God, so the Christians of that era rejected such things. They were able to clearly refuse because they were holding on to God's word. In the same way, if you want to fight and overcome Satan, you must hold on to and believe God's word. If you live according to God's will, you will be blessed before God and be able to overcome Satan. However, even if you are saved, if you do not hold on to God's word, you will be defeated under the attacks of Satan. The devil is said to prowl like a roaring lion. Satan, who brought down Adam and Eve and challenged God, will find it all the easier to attack those who do not believe God's word. Even Jesus defeated Satan by holding on to the written word of God. By saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God," Matthew chapter 4 verse 4. He held on to the written word and, by faith, fought and overcame Satan. How much more for us? We are far less wise and not even comparable to Jesus. That is why we must all the more hold on to God's word, hold on and believe. Do not say, "The word is right, but I don't have much faith." First, hold on to it in your heart. The heart that says, "I believe it will be as this word says," is faith as small as a mustard seed and is the faith that puts on the full armor. The person who has the faith to say, "I believe it will be as God's word says," will be blessed. And if you hold on to that word and rely on it in your heart, it will come to pass. Even if Satan comes to attack, if you say, "The word of God says this. Satan, I believe this is the truth," then Satan, who came to tempt us, will run away. In this way, you become victorious. Hold fast to the word of God. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Ephesians chapter 6 verses 13-17. In this passage, the phrase, "stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth," is likened to a belt binding God's word to our bodies. The metaphor of the belt means that we are to bind God's word to our hearts. It means to bind your heart and God's heart together with the word of truth. Then, Just as a belt fits tightly to the body, our hearts become closely attached to God's Word. When we become one with the Lord in this way, even if we do not have great faith, we come to have the faith that says, I believe it will be as this Word says. It will be as the Lord says. Next, we must put on the breastplate of righteousness on our chests. We must attach to our hearts the gospel word of water and the Spirit, by which our Lord has saved us. Gird your loins with truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness on your chest. It is like attaching a jewel to the breastplate. At all times, you must hold in your heart by faith that the Lord has taken away all your sins. Then, the word of truth by which you have been saved, and the heart of faith that holds to that word, will be firmly attached to your heart. After believing and relying on all these words of God in your heart, put on the shoes of the gospel of peace, and go out to spread this gospel of salvation that brings peace to people. If you have been perfectly saved from the sins of your heart, you will confess it with your mouth by faith. And whenever your shortcomings are revealed, you recall by faith the truth that the Lord has removed all these sins through baptism and the blood of the cross, and you live a life that gives thanks and glory to God. This is putting on the shoes of the gospel. Also, we must preach the gospel of water and the Spirit, which brings peace, to all those who have not yet heard the gospel. And we must take up the shield of faith to stand against the evil one. Whenever Satan attacks, we grasp the shield of faith and unsparingly wield the sword of truth to drive Satan away. Next, we must put on the helmet of salvation. I have been saved from all sin through the word of water and the Spirit. The Lord has taken away my sins like this. We must think, recognize, and believe this word of salvation with our minds as well. Take for yourself the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, by making faith in these your own. When Satan attacks you, draw out the word of truth and strike. God has said this. I believe this word. In this way, by believing in the word of truth, you drive Satan away. When we strike with the word of God through faith, Satan the devil says, Ah! I'm dying, and flees. If you believe God's word in your heart, you can overcome any attack from Satan. Before God, we must have the faith to say, Though I am lacking, I am a person of God who has received the removal of sins. I live by the faith that holds on to the word God has spoken to me. When you have this faith, even if Satan comes to harass you and hinder your spiritual life, you can always draw the word of truth you have heard from God and strike Satan with it. Satan is unmoved by human words. Therefore, when you resist with faith in God's word, the Lord has said this, even Satan must surrender and flee before the word of truth. To live a Spirit-filled life, we must pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. For this, we must always be alert and persevere in prayer, praying for the saints, for God's church and his servants, and for the work of the gospel, so that the church and God's servants may go forth powerfully. Along with prayers like, Let me boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel, you must also set your own life's purpose to serve the gospel. This is truly the Spirit-filled life. For a believer, living a Spirit-filled life is not an optional choice that you may or may not live. If you are a believer, you must absolutely live a Spirit-filled life. Just as it is not optional whether we receive the removal of our sins from God, the Spirit-filled life is also absolutely necessary. Just as the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is essential for the righteous, so too must the life of the righteous before God be a Spirit-filled life, and this is God's command. If you have been saved from sin but do not know how you should live your life of faith going forward, you must know that you are to live a Spirit-filled life. This is God's will. Believers must absolutely live the Spirit-filled life that is God's will. The Spirit-filled life is to do good works and bring benefit to the gospel. It is to live for the gospel, to pray before God, and to believe and hold fast to God's word in your heart. You must put on the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness, and with the faith that says, I am always righteous, you must overcome the attacks of Satan. Believers have the indwelling Holy Spirit, so they live in the Spirit and can be clothed with the Spirit's power. Also, by praying in faith that believes the Word, you receive God's blessings and do God's work in faith. And with a Spirit-filled life, we must overcome Satan and live in the Spirit until the day we stand before God. Those who put on this full armor of faith are the ones who, as Christians and saints, can live a Spirit-filled life. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The battle of those who have been born again is not a physical battle of winning or losing in the flesh. The battle of those who have the indwelling Spirit is against evil spirits, and against those who hinder our life of faith, those who do not serve the gospel, and those who oppose it. It is a spiritual battle. When we wage spiritual warfare for the Lord's gospel, we must go out wearing the helmet and armor of the Spirit. If you go out to battle in ordinary clothes, you will be wounded even by the smallest things. You must absolutely put on armor before going out. Also, to go to war, you need a sword, a shield, and a helmet. To win the battle, you must be perfectly prepared before attacking. You must also put on the breastplate, fasten the belt, put on both shoes, take up the sword and shield, and unite with your allies to fight the enemy. This is the Spirit-filled life. We must protect the beautiful gospel. The Apostle Paul said to keep what is beautiful. What is this beautiful thing? It is the gospel of water and the Spirit. This gospel, which has saved you and me from all our sins. In Titus, it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit," Titus chapter 3 verse 5. Our Lord washed away all the sins we commit in this world by receiving baptism for us, shed his blood, died, and rose again. We must protect this beautiful gospel. We must put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and the belt of truth. We must believe the gospel of water and the Spirit, which has given peace to our souls, and put on the shoes of the gospel by faith. We must arm ourselves in this way and fight against Satan and win. Only by winning can we take the spoils, and we can eat, drink, and share these spoils. If we refuse to fight because we dislike fighting against Satan, there will be no spoils. Because we need the spoils, we must fight and win. We must engage in spiritual warfare against Satan to enrich the inheritance of God's kingdom, seizing and taking much. When we fight and win against a strong opponent, we can do even better in the next battle. We all desire and rejoice that our God's kingdom becomes richer and more prosperous with more spiritual spoils. That is the Spirit-filled life. It does not end with having our sins removed. We must absolutely live a Spirit-filled life. To serve the gospel and do good works, we must believe in God's word. To avoid being defeated and destroyed in the fight against Satan, we must truly hold fast to God's word and live by faith and the Spirit. Do you understand, everyone? These things are the Spirit-filled life. I hope that you also serve the gospel of water and the Spirit, and trust, believe, and follow God's word. Let us all serve this good work of saving people's souls from Satan, and also do good works ourselves. All these things that you and I are doing are the Spirit-filled life. We can live a Spirit-filled life through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit until the day the Lord comes. Being filled with the Spirit is the second command that God has given to us Christians. Without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we could not live a Spirit-filled life, but I give thanks to the Lord who, through the indwelling of the Spirit, allows us to live a Spirit-filled life. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart? Those who have had their sins removed have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. However, those who have not had their sins removed do not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Those who do not know or believe the gospel of water and the Spirit do not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. All people in this world will be destroyed if they do not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because we have no sin in our hearts, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Because we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we can live a Spirit-filled life. Those of us who have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit must surrender to the desires of the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit. The more we surrender to the desires of the Spirit, the thicker our faith becomes, just like putting on more armor. If we surrender little to the desires of the Spirit, the thickness of our armor is like a single layer. Let us listen to the word of the Spirit often, grow, and become people of faith. Since faith comes from hearing, if you listen to the word of the Spirit often, you will become a person of faith. Therefore, even if Satan attacks, you will be protected by the word of faith you have heard. The attacks of Satan cannot enter the gospel of water and the Spirit. Because we have heard and held on to the word of water and the Spirit, we have the shield of faith. A person of faith has the power to overcome Satan's attacks by faith. Let us live the Spirit-filled life with faith. The Spirit-filled life is a life that shares the gospel of water and the Spirit with the whole world. This is the Spirit-filled life.